He is our life. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Isn't that a wonderful reality? Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, heaven's treasure. Christ. Christ. Heaven's treasure. Christ. The hope of glory. The hope. The hope. The hope. Let those words go deep into your heart. The hope. The hope of glory. Christ in me. Christ. Christ. Let those words, let that reality go deep in your heart. The words that we read from the Bible are not words. They are spirit and they are life. Let the truth go into your heart. Christ in you. The hope of the glory. He is your life. It is no longer the world. Oh, He is the hope. He is the hope. He is the hope of the inheritance. He is the hope of the fullness of the life. He is the hope of the abundance of God. Christ in you. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks many things. Sometimes He speaks only a few. But whatever He gives, it is for your life. It is. His words are the very treasure of heaven. To be treasured more than all the gold on this earth. His words are to be treasured more than the very breath you breathe. His words are the very life you live. Sometimes the Lord speaks many things. Sometimes He speaks only a few. But whatever He gives because it is life. For you. Right now, my very soul is being filled with the treasure of His Word. I'm being so filled with the life of His Word. The treasure of His Word. His word is life. Life destined to bring you out of darkness. In any area of your life where darkness prevails, His word is sent to bring light, to bring you into the victory, to bring you into the freedom of Christ. It is not God's will for you to stay entrapped in darkness. He's brought you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and that's where He wants you to live. You say, as a Christian, I do. As a Christian, you do only a little. He wants you to walk in the light as Christ walked in the light. He is inviting you to come up, 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 and out.
out of the darkness that has kept you bound.
You think because you live on this earth that you must live under the weight of the heaviness, of the burden of darkness, stealing your faith, stealing your joy, stealing your strength, stealing your will. And God wants you to know that is not what He has called you to do. He has called you to walk in the fullness of the light, even as Christ walked in the fullness of the life. Listen, Christ is your life. He's not an ideology. He is not something that is a nebulous force. He is your very life. Christ is righteousness to you. Christ is the wisdom of God to you. Listen. Do you know the one whose thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Whose ways are higher than your ways? Or do you judge everything about your faith according to what you see in the earth? Do you know Him who knows those things you do not know? Whose wisdom spans eternity? When you think, do you think His thoughts or do you think your thoughts about Him? God is calling forth a church that is going to know Him. Walk in His thoughts. The days of walking under the burden of the darkness is coming to an end for those who will. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. That's verse 2. Where is your mind to be set? On Him. On Him who sits at the right hand of glory. Not on the things that are beneath. Not on the things of this earth. Your mind is to be set on the knowledge of God. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in the splendor of His glory. God is calling you into the glory. God is calling you to walk in the life that you've been given. He's calling you into the life of victory, into the life of the overcomer, into the life of the one who prevails. He's calling you, my dear brothers and sisters, it is so beautiful what I'm seeing right now. He is calling you to climb up into the life. It's just above your head. Climb up the divine stairs into the light that will bring you into the life that will change your entire life, your entire being. There is no longer bond or free. In Christ, you are all free. He wants to bring His church into the freedom of the light and out of the bondage of darkness. In the light. In the light where Christ walks. there is the knowledge of that which is above. Isn't it amazing? They're clear back. In the book of Deuteronomy, he says, I will make you above only and not beneath. And still the church does not understand what it means to walk above only and not beneath. Why do you walk as one who is blind when you're called to walk as an Elijah? Why do you walk as one who is veiled when you've been called to walk as Moses, seeing the light, filled with the glory? Why do you choose to be beneath when he's called you to be above? To be the tail when he's called you to be the head? He's calling us to come out of that which takes the life from his own. He's calling us to walk in the very life of Christ. If he is your life, your life must change. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You have not entered into your calling until you walk in the life of liberty. It's not this pursuit of happiness, it is the pursuit of divine bliss. It is the pursuit of splendor. It is the pursuit of the holiness of God. It is the pursuit of walking in the love of God, abundant life, abounding life, and the knowledge of the Holy One. It is a divine exchange. You yield up the knowledge of the world. You receive the knowledge of Him who has called you. You can have it. Because Christ is your life. If Christ is your life is not about all of the junk of this world. You were called to walk in victory over all this. There is a life. There is a glory. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the cry that was in Moses' heart? He's climbing up to the top of the mountain. He was called up to the top of the mountain. He had no idea what he was going to meet when he got there. But this he knew, because God never ever brings you to a divine appointment of this nature that he does not prepare you. So all the way up the mountain, his heart is being prepared, his soul is being prepared, his spirit is being prepared to meet the one the church is still looking for. He's climbing up to the top of the mountain, and the song that is in his heart is, I must know you, I must know you, I must know you. If I have found favor in your sight, I must know you. If I have found favor in your sight, you must reveal yourself to me. I'm climbing up this mountain, but will I find you when I get there? What is on the other side of the fire? What is on the other side of the burnings? Will I see the one my heart longs for? And if I see you, will you reveal yourself to me? His heart is yearning. His heart is burning. He is filled with passion and longing. He doesn't know what it means to have what he hungers for. He only knows that there is a hunger that is growing with every step up the mountain. Little does he know that the hunger that is growing is one that God himself is putting in him. Someone, listen please, someone had to come into the light to show Israel what the light was. It wasn't about a vision. It wasn't about standing down at the bottom of the mountain, seeing the vision of fire at the top, hearing the thundering voice of God. And that is the beginning and the end of faith. It isn't about that. Someone had to go to the top of the mountain. Someone had to enter into the light to show Israel what it meant to walk with God. Christ is our life. He came to reveal the Father, yes, but he also came to reveal to us how to walk with God, and we are not doing it. He came to give you living instruction, to stir in your heart a desire and a passion. Remember, he was all God, but he was also all man. And he walked with God. He walked with God so that forever, ever, anyone who desired to know him could look at the pages of the book and see what it was like to walk with God. It is for us to walk in the light as he was in the light. To walk in the mighty, many-sided revelation, the many-sided wisdom of God, seeing the face of God walking in the transcendent glory. He did it to show us it can be done. How do we dare let our hearts be apathetic to such a glorious calling? How can we not put down everything that does not pertain to this calling for the sake, oh, I feel the fire of God burning in my soul. I'm telling you, he wants an answer to that question. How can you not put down everything that does not pertain to the calling and focus on the calling? Christ in you. Christ is your life. Walking in the light as Christ was in the light. High above. High above. High above. High above. Higher. Higher than you think. Higher than you know. High. High above. High above the life of the world. You are called to walk. High above. Don't try to understand it with your mind. Let your heart be open to the truth and let the light go into your heart. Let the light reveal to you how high it can go. High above the world. Yeah, but Nita, I just came here to figure out how to make it through tomorrow. I'm telling you how to make it through tomorrow. Get your heart refocused. Get it on God. Get it on Christ. Get it on the life that is within. He will lift you up above the storm. He will teach you how to be an overcomer of the storm. He will teach you how to overcome everything. Your flesh, the devil, the world, everything that tries to act as a hindrance to the knowledge of God. He will teach you how to overcome everything. You'll do more than make it through tomorrow. You will make it into the life of victory. And into the life of the glorious walk of the Son of God. He's not worried about your tomorrow. He'll get you through tomorrow. He's concerned about you making it into the light. Walking free of the encumbrances of the world. There is one who went before you. He bowed down in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he wept and he cried before the Father. And he wept some more, and he cried some more. And he wrestled until great drops of blood was pouring from him. He wrestled. He wrestled that he might not be separated from the great and bright and wondrous glory of the Father by not overcoming sin. He wrestled against sin until he prevailed, because he knew there was a glory so much higher than the glory that is of man. And he could not bear to be separated from it. He wrestled, and he wrestled, and he wrestled that he might not sin against the Father, because his heart was transfixed on the glory that he had with the Father. He knew this glory to be so wondrous, so filled with divine treasure, so filled with splendor, so filled with all the things that eternity offers, so much we will never know until we get there and have eternity to discover it. None of us know. What we know is so minute. Even those who know so much know so little. It is so glorious and it is so wonderful. But why not have the foretaste here? Why continue to walk under the darkness when you can walk above it? The light is calling, and it's calling to anyone who will hear. Anyone who will hear. He's asking you to let go of the world, the traditions of the world, the ways of the world, the demands of the world, conform. The demands of the world to conform. And he wants you to clothe yourself. Listen to this. He wrote this in a letter, not to the world, but to the church. Listen to these words and let them go deep into your heart, and allow your heart to become filled with wonder. Not to be conformed to the world, not even to the church. Are you listening to me? But to be clothed with Christ. You don't write words like that to a people who are already clothed. That is a call to the church to go deeper, to come up higher, to walk where few have ever walked, but where many will walk in this hour. Let go of the traditions of the world, the demands of the world, the demands of conformity to the ways of the world. Let go of the demands of the church to be conformed to the traditions, even the traditions of the church. Traditions cannot get you Christ. It is the life, entering into the life, that moves you into Christ. All things about the church, so many things are so beautiful, but they're traditions. You can come to church, and if you have a worship service, fine.
If you don't have a worship service, fine. Because what matters is that you meet Christ. And that in meeting Him, your life is freed from the conformity to the things of the world, and you become conjoined to the Spirit of the living God, filling your soul with the life of Christ until you are clothed with Christ. This means you seek out the virtues of Christ. You seek to live in the splendor and the beauty of the virtues of Christ. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness. You strive to live in the virtues of Christ. You spend time before His throne in prayer. Not a fix-up job, not a rush job. Come in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, looking at your watch every few minutes. Well, I've got that list taken care of, and out you go. That's not what He's looking for. That's not what will bring you in to the divine pleasure of the Father. No, coming in, spending time worshiping Him, spending time adoring Him, emptying yourself of the things that displease Him, repenting even for the things that you've done that are against His ways. Open your Bible. Let Him speak to you through your Bible. Love the Word. As you read it, let it go into your heart. Let it mean something to you more than just a good novel. Because it is so much more than that. It is spirit and it is life. I don't want to read about love. I want to be love. I don't want to read about goodness. I want to be goodness. I don't want to read about truth. I want to be truth. Let the Word of God go in, find its home in you. Shake everything that can be shaken inside. Until that which is eternal remains. Then the light begins to pour. It begins to flood the inner man. And in flooding the inner man, it begins to superabound until it clothes your inner man. And you are made into the image of Christ. Isn't that an incredible thought? God is not going to beautify the traditional church. He is going to beautify the Christ seekers. Those who come to church not to hear a good sermon, but to find Christ. When you wake up in the morning, you're not looking for a good cup of coffee. You're looking for Christ. When you sit down at noon, you're not looking for a good tea. You're looking for Christ. When you go in to your home at night, you're not looking for a good program. You're looking to find Christ. Some say, but my days are so busy. I don't have all kinds of time to pray like some people do. My days are so busy. Busyness can rule you. It is true. But in the end of your days, what will matter?
all this stuff you've allowed to make you so busy? Or how much you sought Christ here? What will matter? When the Father leans over and puts his arm on his knee and he searches deep into your soul, will he find the face of his Son or the words of a novel on your heart? Will he find the history of one lost in Christ, or will he find someone that was so busy, the best they could give it was listening to a Sunday morning sermon? What will he find on your heart? And what is going to matter when he's looking? I want him, when he looks into the inside of me, I want him to see one thing. I want him to see the face of Christ. And I want the seal that is on my heart to be in the form of the cross. It was his good pleasure to give us the benefit of the cross and the resurrection. And it is my good pleasure to live under the workmanship of the Spirit of God by the cross. Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none." Listen, silver and gold have I none. What is in your heart? Is it silver and gold? It will weigh down the knowledge of Christ. Silver and gold have I none. Take the silver and gold out of your heart. Get it out. Silver and gold have I none. Do not live for the silver. Do not live for the gold. Don't let the silver and gold of this world dictate your life. Amen. Silver and gold, are you with me? Have I none? Do you know what it means to have none? To have no silver, no gold in your heart? To be free of the love of money and the love of this world's wealth? Silver and gold have I none. That's what they said to him. But what I have, give I unto thee. In the name of the Son of God, in the name of Christ, In the name. Get up and walk. Silver and gold have I none. It is not in my heart. I will not walk in that place. I walk in the place of the Son of God. His glory is what is filling my heart. In the name. Get up and walk. It's a picture. It's a picture of overcoming the world. Silver and gold extracted from the heart. What is put in the heart is the glory of the Son of God. Freedom from this world. The glory moves through you. The glory flows through you. The world is obedient to you. It is a time of mysteries. It is a time of God to release the mysteries of the kingdom to His church. But our hearts must be able to bear the mysteries released. Our heart must be able to bear it. And we cannot bear the mysteries, the great and wonderful mysteries that are coming, if our heart is filled with silver and gold. If our heart is burdened down, laden down with the love of the things of this world, when the mysteries are released, we will not be able to bear them. We must free ourselves from these hindrances, from these bondages, from these things that entrap the life of Christ. Silver and gold, exchange for heaven's gold, heaven's silver. And what is it? It is the life of Christ filling your soul, animating you, possessing you, moving you, clothing you. Until you are one made into His image. Come up and out. That is the call of the Spirit. Never has God sent this call into His church to this magnitude before. This is a new day. It is a new hour when the Spirit of the Lord is trumpeting across the church. Come up! Come up! Come out! Come up! Come up! Come up! Come up into the revelation of Christ. Come up into the revelation of the kingdom. Come up into the life of the light. Come up into the life of the Son of God. Rise up! Rise up! Rise up out of the world and come into that for which you have been called. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad He's sending a call like that into the church today? Isn't that a wonderful call? Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says to the Lord, "Call me to come out to you." And that is a principle of the Spirit. He calls, we come. He calls, we walk on His word. He calls, we obey. He calls, we can go. The Bible doesn't say of John there on the Isle of Patmos that he was sitting in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he decided to go to heaven. What it does say is that the call came. Come up! And the minute the call came, there he was. The call is being sent out from the portals of heaven. The call is being sent out from the heart of the Spirit of the Lord. Come up! And those who hear it will arise into the revelation of Jesus Christ, into the revelation of the kingdom. Those who do not hear it will sit and watch the glory in the life of those who did. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in babysitting. What I am interested in is answering the call. I don't want to watch someone else who did it, because I wouldn't. I want to answer the call. I don't know about you. I don't know Do you have the hunger? Do you have the passion? Do you have the will to answer the higher call? Do you have what he's looking for? Or will you be one who's going to hear all about it, but never enter in? I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now, and he's talking to every heart in this place. This is not just an empty invitation. These are not empty words. This is not a trifle to you. You can't treat them as empty words. They're not your proverbial altar call. Well, do you want to give your life to the Lord? And do you want to make your life right with Jesus tonight? Well, please come down here and a counselor will meet you at the altar. This is not that kind of thing. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart. And he's saying to you, will you acknowledge that there is some place to walk you don't walk? Will you acknowledge that his word is more than just something black and white to encourage you when you're feeling down? Will you acknowledge that there is a life in his word that he wants to bring forth to you? Will you acknowledge that he has the right to have dominion over your mind, over your heart, over your soul, over your spirit? Will you acknowledge that you are walking in a darkness you should not be walking in as a Christian, and that there is a call to the light that you need to answer? Will you compare your life to the Word of God, and in those places that it does not add up, will you plead before the throne that God will forgive you and that he will transform you until you enter into the place of transfiguration and you are made into the image of the living God? The same grace that calls you tonight will get you there if you will just follow. The same grace that is touching your heart tonight, kindling a fire tonight, shaking your insides tonight, the same grace will get you all the way down the path into the throne room where you are transformed into the image of Christ if you will follow the light. It is not an empty call. Well, let's go to the altar one more time and see if we can get over this sin of apathy. It's not an empty call. It's a call that is filled with the life of Christ. It's not an empty call. It is the Spirit of the Lord calling you out of the darkness and into the light. It is the Spirit of the Lord calling you out of self and into him. It is the Spirit of the Lord calling you in to the life of Christ. Will you go? He is goodness, isn't he? He is so good. You don't have to walk where you walked before ever again, because the one who calls you is God. Cry out to him right now. Feel free. Respond to your heart. You're free to tell him, I want you, God. I want to be free of these old ways, and I want to come to you. You're free to tell him that. I'm sorry for my past failures. I'm afraid I'm going to fail again. It's okay to say that to him. But cry out for grace. Grace to overcome. And he'll give you whatever you cry out for if you mean it with all your heart. It's okay. It's better to respond to the Lord. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where he wants you to walk. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Walk in the power of that grace, and he'll get you where you cannot go without him. Paul said, I consider all things lost. Consider it all lost. Do it. It's okay. Silver and gold have I none. Pour it out of your heart and let the light in. It's okay. You are God and you are glorious. You are love and you are mighty. You are our life. Fill us full with the goodness and the grace that carries us into the inner sanctums of yourself, Lord. Empty us of all things that offend. Remove the hindrances in our heart and in our soul. Liberate us to walk in the victory of the Son. He said, in the world there is tribulation, but do not fear, for I have overcome the world. Give us the grace to walk in the victory of the Son. Oh, victory! Oh, death, where is your sting? I walk in the victory of the Son. In the victory of the Son. I cannot bear the burden of this flesh anymore. I cannot bear the burden of this flesh anymore. The life of the Spirit must be free to rule and reign. I must walk in the victory of his magnificent glory. I cannot bear the burden of this flesh anymore. I must have the life of the Spirit free. Liberty in me. Who will save me from this body of death? Christ. I come to you.